Today on Real Life Radio.
Verse 17 puts the church and its leaders on notice that division is to be fought against. If it be in the form of a bitter, backslidden Christian or from the devil himself, the temple of believers is to be protected. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. So, Pastor Jack, your book, Living in the Days of Deception, has been out for about a month now, right? And the response has been off the charts, so to say. Are you surprised at that response at all?
Listen, surprised, that's not a word that covers what we have experienced. Listen, when we get a phone call that even during the pre-release, pre-sale from the publisher, for them to say, listen, this is number 38 on all-time Amazon, and now it's at 16, or now it's at number one in Christian content. That has happened numerous times during the pre-sale segment of this book. So, we were just happy to be asked to write it. We did not expect this kind of response from people.
Living in the Days of Deception by Jack Hibbs is available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/days. That's D-A-Z-E, days. jackhibbs.com/D-A-Z-E. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called 1 Corinthians with a message titled Jesus Christ and His New Home, Part 2. 1 Corinthians, of course, was written by the Apostle Paul to the Church of God in Corinth. It's a study on how to stay true to the gospel message of Jesus Christ. You see, in Part 1, we learned that as Christians, we are the new home of Jesus. Our bodies are now a vessel that the Holy Spirit can work through. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that we really are never alone. Every true follower of Christ has been given the Holy Spirit as both a helper and a witness of our salvation. Now with his message called Jesus Christ and His New Home, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Father, we ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name, to please help me with this message. Rather than preach it and teach it, I'd rather just sit in it like a hot tub and let it soak into my bones. Father, I pray that you'd cause the clock to stand still, our hearts to be open, our minds to be clear, and our faith to be strengthened as we talk and learn about the ultimate reality of all time and eternity. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Church, grab your Bibles this morning and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we are in part 2 of a message entitled Jesus Christ and His New Home. Jesus Christ and His New Home, and we're in verses 16 to 23. And I got to tell you right now, I am absolutely, I don't know how to say it. There's no way that I can do this message justice. Impossible. It is impossible. Will this be part 2 and we'll move on to the next chapter? I don't know. It's too much. And so my inadequacy to be able to communicate the reality of what's before us is really got me down. But then when I studied all about the truth of Jesus Christ and what he wants as a new home, I'm so happy. I'm so excited. I didn't even need to show up today. I'm warning you now. It may be first service, but I'm pumped up over this truth. You listen to this and what God is speaking to us, and your future's set. It is amazing. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16, Paul said to the church at Corinth, do you not know, it's a little bit of true sarcasm there in the Greek, he's provoking them. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Verse 21. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. That statement alone, that closing verse, to the Corinthian hearer, to the first century citizen, was so profound and so radical that I want to tell you this morning that if taken literally, it shakes the foundation of the world to this moment. Paul is talking about the radical, amazing, collective salvation that's in Christ that he purchased at the cross, so much so that everything in history past was simply a road sign, simply a directional to what God would do through Christ on the cross. And this is a tall order for us this morning. Paul's statements are remarkable. They're radical. And he introduces to the Corinthian mind this eternal doctrine, listen church, of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God, that God the Holy Spirit would indwell a believer, the living God, the God the Bible says that came down to earth. And there's a lot of talk today about that, and I want to challenge those who are of the cults who say there's no way that God could interact with man. The Bible says that God came down and lived among us. The Bible says that God walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. He's the God that came down, and he's the God that lived among us, the God that loved us, the God that died on the cross, and the God that rose again from the grave. He's the God that gives us a personal salvation. And that is so radical of a thought. There's been this mindset for eons of time that man would be somehow saved in a sense that we'll go through this together, that we'll somehow join a group, we'll form a tribe, we'll form a committee. Listen, I believe to some extent, not fully, but to some degree, that there is this temptation to form a group that would somehow convince you that you and your group are going to heaven. God doesn't think like that. Well, maybe it's our denomination that's leading the way into heaven. No. Well, maybe it's our holiness group that's going to lead a fragment to heaven. No. God makes the announcement universally to the world, and all those who will come to Christ by faith in what he's done at the cross, the Bible says, shall be saved. That is radical. But what does it really mean to you and I today? And the temptation that I'm fighting against right now is to somehow get it into your head and heart as it's trickled this last week into my head and heart, the absolute fact that Jesus Christ dwells within you if you're a believer today. Amen. By the Holy Spirit. You see, Jack, if that were so, wouldn't I look bigger? Would I be plumper? Wouldn't I weigh the weight of two people instead of one person? No. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 10, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Can someone say amen? Let's pretend we're Pentecostals this morning. That's radical. The Bible just said in Romans 8 that the Holy Spirit of God lives inside the believer. What does that look like? A transformed life. Everybody's talking about renewable energy, renewable power, renewable this. Isn't it funny? All that stuff's going to perish anyway. How about the renewable you? Jesus said that we can be born a second time. We can start life all over again. And when that happens, the Holy Spirit comes inside. How can a holy God interact with unholy man? Thus the need of innocent blood, sacrificial blood. Colossians 1:20 says, now, having made peace, that is with God, through the blood of his cross, by him he's reconciled all things to himself. Wow. I'm excited. Last week, we got this far. We got into the introduction of the first point. And that first point was this: Jesus Christ in his new home, your body is a holy house to God. Imagine that. Look at me. Do I look holy to you? Look at this thing. Yeah. It's a carcass. I've got cologne on because I'm dying. I had to wear clothes to cover up my blubs. In my house, we call them blubs. You know what I'm talking about? And yet inside dwells the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. And the Bible says that the inward man is being renewed day by day. Amen. Yes, this outward man's perishing. Thank God, let the thing go. I want to live to be 100. Are you sure about that prayer request? You got to drag that carcass around. No, listen. Your body, until you go to meet Jesus, is a holy house unto the Lord in this world. And we saw this, that he, remarkably, is desiring a house for himself. And I love this. It says in verse 16, do you not know? The word means, Corinthians, have you forgotten, number one, that you are the temple of God? Paul is saying, you already knew that before I told you guys that. Number two, that the Spirit of God dwells within you. That's what makes you a holy temple. That's what makes you the temple of God, is that the Holy Spirit dwells in the life of a believer. Church today, I got to tell you, so many people, over 80% of Americans claim to be Christians, but I don't believe it. If 80% of Americans were Christians, that would mean the Holy Spirit dwells in them. That means, as we'll see in a moment, the decisions they make, the lives they live, the things they say and do are governed by the Holy Spirit. And America would be that city, bright city, shining city on a hill, as it were. But the truth of the matter is, the living God desires to live in your life. You might be here today and you're a drug addict, or you're a prostitute, or you're living a terrible life, or you're a greedy, cutthroat corporate pirate. I don't know what your thing is. Or maybe you're just little Miss Goody Two Shoes and you don't think you need Jesus at all. Let me tell you something right now. Without the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, you have no forgiveness of sins. Without the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, you are in a state of peril. The Bible says that you're in a state of disobedience to God. The Bible says that he wants you to be a place where he dwells. It's Halloween today, right? And all week long, or all weekend long, these programs on TV have had the 24-hour scary shows on. I don't watch scary shows. I don't watch them. I refuse to watch them. Become a pastor, your life will become scary enough. You don't need to watch a TV show. I'm telling you now. And all this stuff about ghouls and vampires and death and slaughter and mayhem. All of that stuff of the world. And demon possession movies, The Exorcist. Well, guess what? The Holy Spirit wants to possess you. It's the Holy Spirit's job to possess you. It's amazing. Jesus lived 33 1/4 years on this planet and then went back to heaven. And on the day of Pentecost, he sent the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's been here for 2,000 years, working in the lives of believers and setting his mark, his seal, allow me to say it, his possessing of a believer. And if that's true in your life, you'll know, and you do know, that the Holy Spirit dwells in you. It's not with boom, flash, bang experiences. It's with that still, small voice that Elijah spoke about, that the Bible tells us about. Also this is where we pick it up. That's as far as we got last week. Now we're into new territory. Verse 17, look at this. Your body is a holy house to God, and that he's a protector of his house. God is your protector. God is your defender. Can someone say amen to that? I rejoice in that. God is my protector. God is my defender. And he says, if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
listen, I'm going to save you a lot of grief. Commentators are divided, biblical scholars for 2,000 years are divided in two areas as to what that means. Number one, if someone comes after a believer and destroys them, God will destroy in judgment that person that attacks his kids. That may be true, unless that person repents and comes to Christ. Okay, I understand that. But some scholars say that, listen, even if the believer backslides, sins, departs from the Lord so far, so backslidden, after prolonged warnings, after prolonged wooing by the Holy Spirit to come back to Christ, listen, that Christian who was born again into the family of God, who is now backslidden, church, you can't be backslidden unless you're born again. Let's get that straight. Some people will say, you've been brought up in some churches maybe that say, well, if you're backslidden, then you've lost your salvation. And you can get your salvation back and then lose it about 20 times in a lifetime. Where's that in the Bible? You'll see in a couple of months or years when we get to 1 Corinthians 6 that the true Christian is so sealed until the day of redemption that if that Christian backslides away and begins to offend the name of Christ, that the Lord reserves the right to take that Christian out in this life and send him home. Did you know that? How saved can you be? Come back in about 9 months when we come to that chapter of the Bible. It's going to be tremendous. The Holy Spirit protects the believer even against himself. Did you know that? The Bible says that neither death nor life nor principalities or powers nor things created shall separate you and I from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Anything, and that includes you and I as believers. Think of that. Can I rebel against God? Of course you can rebel against God. Can I go do my own thing? Of course you can do your own thing. Just know this. You will suffer the consequences. You may be saved, but you're ruining your life. Yep. Listen, newsflash, Christians. Christianity has no temple but the one you're living in right now. Amen. You ever think of that? This is glorious news. Some of you have been brought up in a very strong liturgical setting. You think of a shrine, a temple, a cathedral. Nope. God, the Holy Spirit, dwells in you if you're a believer. Dr. Charles Ryrie from Dallas Theological Seminary writes, quote, so grave the warning, so certain the judgment upon any man or woman whom creates or contributes to the harm, division, or collapse of a local church, whether it be by a Christian or non-Christian, it is clear that peril awaits them. Verse 17 puts the church and its leaders on notice that division is to be fought against. If it be in the form of a bitter, backslidden Christian or from the devil himself, the temple of believers is to be protected. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18 says, flee sexual immorality. We get the word in the Greek, it's porneia. Do I need to tell you what it is in English? Porn. Flee pornography. See, it's the reason why the Bible says sexual immorality is because it includes something much more than a picture. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside of the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body or his own soul. Or do you not know that you are the body, or that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Isn't this awesome? Look, he's in me. He's in you. That freaks me out. If I understand that, then how can I get engaged or involved in sexual immorality? Because he's there. When you click on that site in the middle of the night, God is there. The Holy Spirit is looking through your eyes when you're chatting with that old boyfriend from high school and you're married. The Holy Spirit is in that chat room if you're a Christian. He says the Holy Spirit dwells within you. whom you've received from God. You are not your own. He says in 1 Corinthians 6, 20, for you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I belong to him. Hallelujah, I belong to him. I love that. That word porneia, you'll see it a lot in the Bible, sexual immorality. It means this, any form of aberrant or unsanctioned sexuality, adultery, incest, fornication, sexual arousal outside of marriage. Let me add this in our modern culture. Sexting on your cell phone, internet porn, forms of sexual activity outside of marriage, the Bible says, is porneia. It's devastating. You say, man, God doesn't want me to have any fun. He's trying to save your life. He's trying to save your life. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Hey, listen, get married and thou gets to, and thou gets to a lot, and thou gets to have fun. You have a problem with porneia? Get married, the Bible says. Are you burning with lust? Get married. The Bible says that the Christian bed is undefiled. What does that mean? Go for it. A Christian couple following Jesus, loving Jesus Christ, a godly home, they should only stop having sex to come up for air. And, you know, go to work. You got to go to work, mow the lawn and all that stuff. I understand that. But the world has stolen this. It's our God who made us. It's the Holy Spirit who created that. And the Bible warns us, you are the temple of the living God. And the Bible in another place says that you better stop goofing off, because if a man joins himself to a woman outside of marriage, listen to this, it says he's joining Christ to that person. That's a sick thought, and yet it's a Bible thought. You are owned and possessed by the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse, am I yelling? I'm so excited about being dwelt by the Holy Spirit, because you know what? You remember, is it Cabbage Patch Dolls or Teddy Ruxpin? Who's Teddy? No. Who's the one that had the little logo on the rear end? Cabbage Patch Dolls. Ugly, ugly things. Little ball-headed things. But you know what? To see if you had a real one, you had to pull down the little thing there and look on the cheek. And it was a stamp. And it was, because remember they were making knockoffs? Sealed. Sealed. By Mattel or whoever made them. You, the believer, Cabbage Patch believer, sealed by the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 1 and 2 says.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Jesus Christ and His New Home, Part 2. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Corinthians, a series on the Corinthian church and the Apostle Paul's bold call for purity. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey, everybody, we are in that cycle again called an election year. And someone's going to be making decisions about your wallet, about your children, about your property tax, and about your freedoms and how you're going to live your life. And I just want to encourage you. I personally would encourage you by saying this. I refuse to be a victim of bad government. Even if we have bad government, I'm not going to be victimized by it. And you shouldn't either, which means this, that you and I are monarchist. In other words, we believe in a ruling, reigning king. His name is Jesus, and he's coming back. But as we enter into this year, and you hear and you watch all of the news and all of the, frankly, noise that's out there, I'm going to ask you to be thinking biblically. I'm going to be asking you to process everything biblically. I'm going to ask you, in fact, I'll include myself. Let's divorce ourselves from our emotions and let's get engaged in the culture for righteousness' sake. We represent the kingdom of God. Until he calls us home, it's incumbent upon you and I to get involved in righteous doing, which means vote righteously. That simply means that whoever's on the ballot and whoever you're voting for, look to see what their voting record is all about. Are they pro-life, for example? Because God's pro-life. Are they pro-Israel? Because God's pro-Israel. Are they pro-marriage? Because God's pro-marriage. You see what I'm saying, my friends? Is he pro-borders? Because God's pro-borders in his Bible. Pray, vote, and then pray for the outcome. But through it all, remember, Jesus is on the throne.
You know, Jack Hibbs truly believes that we are living in some of the most exciting days in history, which brings some great opportunities to share with the world a powerful, no-nonsense presentation of the gospel to this generation, who, by the way, are really searching for answers and for truth. Will you stand with us in sharing this message in real and practical ways? We ask that you commit to support Real Life and the teachings of Jack Hibbs with a gift of your choosing. Simply go to jackhibbs.com. There you'll find instructions on how to give a one-time gift or a recurring gift. If you'd prefer to call, here's that phone number, 877-777-2346. One more time, 877-777-2346. Your gift will be faithfully put to work because it's our desire that through Jesus Christ, you will know real life. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.